Welcome to Fat Camp Show number 23 for sometime around the middle of April 2017. Fatbike.com presents Fat Camp, a more or less monthly podcast covering different technical aspects of fat and plus bikes. Look for all our shows at fat-bike.com/radio or subscribe to our feed on iTunes. Welcome, fat campers.
Holy cow, we're in a hotel and we're recording a fat camp here.
We're on our way down to Georgia.
We're on the outskirts of Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're going to get on a plane tomorrow morning.
And then we're going to go meet Aaron Chase.
He's going to meet us.
Yeah. That's more like it. Yeah.
Yep. Are we on our way to the Maxxis Tire Summit?
Yes, we are.
We're on our way to the Maxxis Tire Summit. Gomez has kind of helped us out. And we're going to be reporting live from the Maxxis Tire Summit.
Well, it won't really be live. We'll be recording it live. It'll be broadcast after the fact.
Pre-recorded live. From the Maxxis Tire Summit, we're going to check out a whole bunch of tires there.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Supposedly Maxxis has got a bunch of cool stuff coming down the pipe.
Dude.
Can't wait.
And we're going to ride in a car with Aaron Chase from Atlanta up to LAJ.
That poor guy.
Yeah. Hey,
but, yeah.
Anyway. So we're on our way to Georgia and on our way down to catch a flight. Ken suggested to me that we've got enough to talk about. For another podcast.
Yeah, they were a little ahead of schedule, you know, but there's been a lot of good stuff coming down the pipe that we want to end up talking about.
So welcome to Fat Camp number 23. Here we are. And the agenda is long, and the podcast is longer.
just hope I can stay awake. You know?
Right, exactly. It is into the wee hours for us.
Yeah, it's well past my bedtime. It's after 10.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to call this one, but it looks like...
We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
We'll be inspired.
A huge amount of information that we want to disseminate to our fellow listeners.
It's all about dissemination.
Yeah, and if you want to get in touch with us, you can check us out on the Instagram at Fat Camp Podcasters, or if you want to send us an email, it's Fat Camp Podcasters.
Plural.
At gmail.com. So, let's
jump into this.
Yeah, well, let's get right into it.
Let's roll.
Right.
So, Salsa Deadwood, 29 plus, full susser.
29 plus, full suspension.
Yeah.
Is this the first one?
I think it's one of the first, like, real big production ones. I think, wasn't it, I'm trying to remember what the name of it was. Like, it's like the Lens Mutz or something like that.
Sure.
I want to say that was, like, you know, kind of... in quotes, a production bike, you know, a small production run type bike, but
I guess for all purposes, this is a full, like a company
full mainstream.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
I guess that's probably the best way to put it. Interesting bike.
What's going on with this 29 plus full susser?
Well, it's got a pike that's like only got 100 mils of travel. Normally a pike is a pretty big hit, you know, fork. I think it's got 35 mil stanchions, you know, so it's kind of a burly fork.
It's a burly fork.
And normally you don't run that less than 120 mils. So it's kind of set up in a short travel format. And then I don't remember exactly what the rear travel is. I think it's 91 millimeters.
Wow.
So it's a fairly short travel bike all around, but because of the big diameter wheels and then, you know, the plus thing that, I mean, from what I'm reading, as far as reviews go, it sounds like it's a really capable bike.
Whoa. So fat bikers out there, we're talking about plus bikes right now. Just to let you know.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yep.
Because it's spring, you know?
Yep. Spring is in the air.
Why do you think...
tires are getting skinnier.
Why would Salsa make a full suspension 29 plus bike with such short suspension, both front and rear?
Well... It's kind of like their, what is it, the adventure by bike or whatever their little tagline is.
Okay.
It kind of ties into that a lot.
Okay.
This is going to be a bike that you can load up with a bunch of crap. You know, you can go bike packing, whatever. And the bike isn't going to get squirmy under a load.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of built pretty burly. It's going to be very capable. It's going to be, you know, probably pretty efficient.
So it's going to be able to handle some pretty gnarly terrain, especially with a load, and not have issues.
Okay.
It seems like it's a really good design. There's a fair amount of room in the front triangle, so if you want to put in a frame bag in there, so that kind of ties in with the, you know, adventure by bike, the bike packing kind of thing. It seems like a really cool ride.
Are we going to see more 29 plus? Are we going to see more? Well, we've seen a lot of 27 and a half full suspension bikes. Are we going to see more 29 plus full suspension bikes?
It seems like there is a chance of that. Okay. And the reason why I say that is because it seems like there's been a few more 29 plus tires coming out. It seems like there's been a trickle of the 29 plus coming out, where I was at one point in time, I was kind of worried about, you know, there was kind of the early flush of them, and then I thought it kind of died off.
Right.
Now we're starting to see them come out a little bit more. So it kind of legitimizes the category a little bit more. It might not ever be as popular as 27 and a half plus, but I do think we're starting to get, I mean, it's solid. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I'm not worried about that niche or whatever going away because, you know, it was too niche.
Well, if I'm a fat biker, can I convert my fat bike? Can I get another wheel set that's 27 and a half plus?
And well,
it'll drop your bottom bracket a little bit.
This goes back to the classic thing. Is your, you know, fat bike designed for a 4-inch tire or is it designed for a 5-inch tire?
Oh, we've been on this road before.
Many times. But right. Yeah, if it's designed for a 4-inch tire, then you're talking 27 and a half plus. If it's designed for a 5-inch tire, then you're talking a 29 plus.
Okay.
So, yeah, but I'm still.
But Salsa, I mean, they did a good thing there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this is a cool bike.
Okay.
I'm really stoked about it. You know, this is no cross country rocket, but this is a super, super, super capable,
cool,
you know, burly bike.
Right. Well, and when they came out, people were like, oh, they're ugly. Like, but I think we talked about this before. Neither you and I thought that they were like ugly.
No.
You know, they got the elevated chainstay, you know, to kind of make things.
They're sweet.
Cool.
Yeah, and by the way, the best quote that I read on this bike, you know, because I read a few different reviews.
Okay.
And this is a la Bike Rumor, but if you ever wonder what it feels like to be a drunken tugboat captain who doesn't care what's in your path, this is pretty much it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so there's your best quote that
that's
I found.
Good. No, I like that. I like that. Now, you know anybody else that's making 29 plus full suspension?
Hell yeah. I ended up just getting one in the house.
Someone's got a new toy.
Yeah.
So you have acquiring 29 plus full suspension bike.
Yeah.
What are the specs on this thing?
100 mil on the rear. I've got a Fox 34 120 mil front fork. It's got an aluminum front triangle, titanium rear triangle.
Why the aluminum front triangle, titanium rear triangle?
Because you can build the front triangle cheaper and really stiff with the aluminum. So, you know, Scott knows I kind of have a history of destroying stuff. So he overbuilt it a fair amount.
Okay.
So it's a very stiff bike. It's kind of like, I mean, there are a lot of parallels to this in the Deadwood.
Okay.
Where, you know, with the Deadwood, you know, why would they put a pike on there, which is a, you know, very, very stiff fork and only have it at 100 mil.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of deal that, you know, is going on with my bike. It's a very, very stiff bike, which makes it much more capable for handling, you know, chunky, really challenging terrain.
Okay.
It's not going to start flexing all over like a cross country bike.
Gotcha.
But,
why,
you know,
why the titanium back though? I guess that's my question then.
Just
why
for durability.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at a lot of full suspension bikes, where do they break? Like the carbon ones and stuff, they break, the rear end breaks.
Okay.
You know, like one of the stays break.
All right.
So this kind of, you know, gives it a lot more longevity.
Okay, and then you can go 3-inch tires, no problem.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and really, I mean, the bottom bracket's fairly high on this because I run 180 mil crank arms, so I want to say, like, without any sag or anything, it's like a 14-inch high bottom bracket or something crazy.
Okay.
And that's, like, super, super high. But once it's sagged out, then it's a really nice height.
Did you say 180 millimeter crank arm?
Yeah. Like the normal length is 175.
Yeah.
And then so mine are like, you know, half a centimeter longer.
Yeah, the mutant legs. I gotcha.
Yeah, because I'm, you know, a tall dude. So.
Check out Instagram. I put up a picture of you went down and kind of did the shakeout ride for it.
Yeah, it's a cool looking bike.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's got like sort of the black and orange thing.
Well,
going
then
on.
Another guy I know that I see at work, he got the same thing, just a different color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was cool looking.
Yeah. And so far, I'm super, super, super stoked. It's very efficient setup. Like I said, it's very stiff as far as the handling goes. Just I've got nothing but positives. And I've got a trip planned for going down to Pisgah here in like less than a month now.
Nice.
And that's going to be just a rad bike.
So no big deal on seeing 29 plus full suspension now.
Well, I mean, I still think it's a big deal. I mean, there's not a whole lot of them out there.
Okay.
You know, for somebody my size, I think it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think it adds a lot of capability to a bike. You know, so, I mean, this is a bad way of describing it. But, I mean, having a 29 plus with 100 mil rear end, like 120 front, that's really like if you were riding, you know, a 27 and a half plus bike, that's like having 120 in the rear and 140 up front or whatever. It's like as far as, you know, you're not dropping into holes as much, so you can go with a little less suspension. So it's I guess, bottom line, a very capable bike, but at the same time, it's very efficient.
Are bike makers still kind of shying away from 29 plus?
I think so.
Okay.
And you know, we've talked about this again. Right. You know, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but, you know, the difference between 27 and a half plus and 29 plus is that 27 and a half plus is essentially the same outer diameter as a 29er wheel.
Okay.
The difference is that when, you know, we've got boost hubs and stuff like that, that naturally lends itself to be able to sort of swallow a wider tire. So 27 and a half plus, all you're doing is you're kind of changing one dimension. You know, you widen out the rear end, but you're widening out the hub. You aren't changing the outer diameter at all. Whereas when you get to 29 plus, that's a considerably bigger diameter wheel. That's like a 30 and a half inch diameter wheel instead of a 29 inch wheel. So, you know, you got to, as a designer, accommodate, you know, 3/4 of an inch more radius for the wheel diameter.
Right.
And that, you know, so not only have you gotten wider because it's a plus, but then you've also gotten taller because it's, you know, a 29 plus. So that takes a whole another element of design in there. So like on my bike, I'm pretty stoked because the chain stays are still pretty short. They're like,
what are they?
I think they're 17 3/8.
Okay.
So, you know, that's not short, but that's pretty short for, you know, a 29 plus full suspension bike.
Right.
You know, in my case, I wasn't real uptight about any of this stuff because I like to run a pretty slack seat angle and, you know, I'm a big dude and all this other kind of stuff. So, you know, it works out where, you know, my weight distribution and things like that are pretty good. And it effectively ends up being a super short chain stay.
Gotcha.
But, you know, 17 3/8, that's short for that big a diameter wheel.
Okay.
It's hard to fit anything, you know, shorter than that in that kind of space.
Once you start taking big hits, that wheel's going to come right up behind you real quick.
Yeah, exactly. Right, I mean, if you look at the arc of the, you know, the travel path of the rear axle, I mean, typically it's going to end up going towards your seat tube, and it's like, there's just not a lot of room there.
Right.
You know?
Well, good news that 29 plus full suspension is on the horizon, and some people are embracing it. And
yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, a few of us out there who are going to be riding it are going to sort of, it's going to be another data point, and hopefully, you know, people kind of get stoked about it and we get some more.
Right.
I'm not saying it's for everybody, but for bigger guys like myself, you know, if you're over 6 foot, I think 29 plus is a pretty sweet thing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of scenarios where, you know, 29 plus is good for you, even if you aren't 6 foot.
Yeah. Well, and not that we're proponents of 29 plus at all, but, you know, we kind of think it's a cat's meow a little bit.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. I mean, we both ride it, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
As we drink our...
As we drink shorts.
Cat's pajamas.
Cat's pajamas.
Yes.
What is it?
A double IPA brewed with white blood orange. Or excuse me, I'm having a hard time reading in this light. Brewed with blood orange and guava.
Whatever the hell blood orange is.
Yep.
Huh.
So, Shorts, Northern Michigan Brewery. Cheers to you.
Cheers. when I was looking into getting a Judas Goat, which is a 29 plus slash fat bike frame.
Yeah, basically you can run, you know, like and during the summer, your plus setup is 29 plus. And then during the winter, you can run, I mean, you can run a 4-inch tire, no problem. It drops the bottom bracket a little bit, but you can run up to a 4.8-inch tire on an 80 mil rim, no problem.
Sliding dropouts.
Yep.
Angle headset.
Yep.
And our friend Tim.
Ah, yes, Tim.
Tim's
Tim
in
from
this.
TC. Yeah, he's just decided to pull
the
trigger on it.
He's
going to
pull the trigger on it, yeah. But one of the reasons.
Another convert.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good. He's going to love that thing.
Anyway, will.
Shout out to Tim. One of the things that I had to think about was, do I want to be able to single speed that thing?
Yeah.
And at the time, I was like, heck yeah, because I don't have a potty mouth. Heck yeah, I wanted to be able to single speed that thing. And so I was kind of limited to what my rear was going to be.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like what kind of cassette driver you're going to run. Because, you know, at that point in time, when you built your bike up, I think it was 2 years ago.
3 years ago.
Wow, 3 years. Wow, time flies.
14, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, when you built that up, you know, it's a question of, okay, if you do the XD driver, you can go with, you know, a SRAM cassette. There's no other 11-speed cassette that would end up going on any kind of cassette driver. So it's XD, 11-speed, or you go 10-speed and you go with like a traditional, you know, cassette driver.
And the XD driver at the time, you couldn't single-speed it.
Correct.
Right. And if you went to traditional, then you couldn't go 11-speed. You had to go 10-speed.
Exactly.
So I wanted a single-speed, and I went 10-speed.
Right. Yep. And luckily, since then, you know, Shimano started to come out with some good 11-speed cassettes.
Big, fat, heavy 11-speed stuff.
Yeah, they're, yeah.
But still, I'm going to do it. It's good, you know.
Yeah. So.
But here's the thing, though.
Finally, there is an XD driver compatible single-speed cog.
An XD driver single-speed compatible cog.
Yeah. All right. So Problem Solvers came out with this. This is something that's huge. Because
how does this work?
Well, okay. I guess, you know, before we get into this, you know, traditionally, like when you've got like a traditional like free hub, you know, driver on
there,
it's just, you know, it's, I don't know how else to describe it. You got all these like kind of little parallel channels in there, and it's like you can put that cog anywhere you want it, and you put spacers on one side or the other, and
yep,
you can chain line. You're all set.
Yep.
So the problem with the XD driver is that it's not built like that. It's kind of almost like tapered, you know.
Yeah.
You've got the splines on the far end of it, and then you kind of like necks down and
like,
you know,
a dog's dick.
Every podcast you gotta mention this.
Hey, it's a good analogy, you know, people understand it.
Not in this case. It's not a good analogy. I don't understand how it applies to
it. Doesn't taper down like a, anyway,
okay, whatever.
All right,
moving on.
Right,
please. So in this case, what they ended up doing is they more or less have like an aluminum piece that kind of, you know, goes on top of the, you know, the cassette, you know, driver, the XD driver.
Okay.
And then on top of that, then they have this 6-bolt arrangement, which is really similar to a disc bolt arrangement. And this is a kind of it's a very niche thing, but it's a commonplace way of attaching a single speed cog, or a lot of times it's going to end up being a fixed gear cog to a hub.
And it goes on the outside.
Yeah.
Of the cog.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and then you got, you know, the 6-bolts just like you know, a disc rotor, and you can put spacers in there, and you can get your chain line right. So it gives you all the flexibility that you want.
Okay.
You know, if I don't remember the exact like range of cog sizes, but you can go pretty darn small. I want to say it's like a 16-tooth or something like that.
So it's a special cog though.
It is, yes. You got to have the 6-bolt mounting pattern.
Do you know who's making the special cogs?
I don't remember the brands.
Okay.
You know, this comes with 2 different sizes on it, but they've got a full range, like in 1-tooth increments. I want to say there's several different manufacturers that are making these because, like in the fixed gear crowd, the 6-bolt pattern is a common thing.
Okay.
So, you know, there are cogs out there that are like high quality that are available.
But how cool is that? That
bottom line, XD driver, you can finally go single speed. This is the thing that's going to cause me to completely switch over to XD driver. I'm not going to end up using a traditional driver anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
Done deal.
Yeah. And it's like I'm going to have a whole bunch of things sitting on my bench because like I've got all these traditional cassette drivers I don't use anymore.
So this isn't specific to fat or plus bikes. This is just something cool that
no,
came
this
out.
No, this is just awesome, period.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Huh. We got links in the show notes to both the Salsa Deadwood 29 Plus Full Sesser, and there's also a link to the Problem Solvers single speeding with an XD driver. So check that stuff out. But let's just roll right down then to the next thing, though. I mean, let's just keep moving on. Let's have a discussion, you know. 2.6-inch tires.
Plus or not? Should we be talking about it right now? Is this sacrilege? Are we getting outside of our domain?
We had the discussion in the car, and I voted no.
And I voted yes.
2.6 is not plus.
I view...
But here's the thing. You said 2.5 was not plus, but 2.6 was.
Where we draw lines is arbitrary.
I know. You're going to pull me over for going 56 miles an hour, 57 miles per hour, 60 miles per... I mean, where do you draw the line?
Well, that's exactly it. So, you know, if you look at traditionally what a mountain bike tire is, it goes up to about 2.5 inches.
Sure.
And then we didn't have anything. And then all of a sudden, you know, the 3 inches came out. And then they kind of, you know, went back to like 2.8 inch. And then now we're down to 2.6. So we kind of backfilled from 3 inch down to 2.5. So I kind of view it as anything bigger than 2.5 inches is the plus, up to 3.5 inches. And then anything bigger than 3.5 inches is fat. That's just my arbitrary kind of like lines in the sand as far as where these things are.
Okay, that's fine.
So Schwalbe, they're the first ones to end up doing 2.6-inch tires.
Now, that's what you've got on your new bike.
Well, that's what I might. That's what I'm going to run some of the time. Okay. I ended up getting a pair of 2.6-inch Knobby Knicks.
Okay.
And that's what I plan on running my trip down to the Pisgah. I think it's going to be a really nice sort of balance point between going full plus and then going a skinny tire.
Well,
I'm pretty
and, you
stoked
know,
about those.
It might fill a niche where certain types of riders don't want to go plus but are sick of 2.3, 2.4s.
Well,
and want to jump up a little
because,
bit.
So... There's a lot of scenarios, like Pisgah is a prime example of this, where you don't have sand and other soft conditions. So you don't need this big volume tire for float.
Okay, yeah, right.
But at the same time, having a bigger tire increases your amount of traction, increases, you know, your amount of, like your comfort about it, the amount of like sort of suspension you're getting out of your tire.
Right.
It does all these different things. But if you get too big, if you get up to the 3-inch range, it can get a little bit bouncy and there can be some adverse characteristics. So that's why, you know, like the 2.8 inch size became very popular.
Okay.
Now the 2.6 kind of strikes, for me, I feel like almost a better balance when you're in like the super techie stuff, because I found like when I was riding down there last year, a 3-inch tire, sometimes it was hard to fit through some slots. There were situations where I'd be like, okay, I need to end up nailing this line.
Right.
But I mean, my tire would almost like come to a stop going through it. So that's where I was like, okay, I need a narrower tire. And when I go with a little bit more aggressive, a little bit narrower tire, I'm going to get less of the bounce. I'm going to maintain the traction. It's going to be kind of a balancing act. And I guess, you know, I'm not saying 2.6-inch tires are great for every situation and everybody.
Right.
But I'm pretty stoked that, you know, we've got 2-inch tires. We got 2.2-inch tires. We got 2.4-inch tires. We got 2.6-inch tires. We got 2.8-inch tires.
Right.
We got 3-inch tires, and we got 3.2-inch tires.
Right.
So you can really nail exactly what you need.
But doesn't it make it – and I know, I'm going to get into a legit conversation. Doesn't it make it more complicated for someone – for Joe – to decide what size tire he needs?
Hell yeah. Yeah, it does.
And so it doesn't, it just complicates matters.
Yes and no. This is why, you know, I always recommend people deal with a good bike shop.
It's the same thing as going, okay, do you want a 4-inch fat tire?
Do you
want a 4.5-inch fat tire? How about a 4.6, 4.8? You want to go, you know, it's the same thing.
No, I don't disagree. And
that's just discussed, you know, ad infinitum or whatever.
Yeah,
that word
ad nauseum.
Is.
So, yeah. Sure. I 100% agree. It's like
ad infinitum. What the fuck is that? Sorry.
It can be confusing.
Right.
I'm not saying it isn't. But that said, you know, having these options is really good, because then once you start to hone in and you start to, you know, get an opinion, then you can be like, oh, okay, I see – if I had a little bit narrower tire, it'd be better than this. If I had a little bit wider tire, it'd be better than this. And then you can really start to size the base on your conditions. That's where experience comes in and a lot of other things.
I would really like to try a 29-inch tire that's a 2.8.
Yeah.
On my bike.
I wish they were more available.
That'd be, you know, for a Midwestern kind of where I live.
Yep.
I think that might be cool.
Well, and I guess that's the thing.
I'd like to try a 3.2.
Yeah. You know, when I ended up jumping from, you know, a 2.4 to a 3-inch tire, I was like, holy crap. You know, the 3-inch tire is awesome and this, and this.
Right.
But it's not perfect in this, and this. And having a smaller size would allow you to kind of tweak that balance. So, you know, it's one of those things where it allows you to really kind of customize this based upon what you want to do.
Right.
What your priorities are.
Yeah. And fat bikers are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They're just doing it between 3.7 and 5-inch.
Exactly. And, you know, that's the case where you really need more volume. You need more float. So that's your sweet spot. Whereas I feel like in the plus range, once you get into regular dirt conditions, your sweet spot is somewhere between 2.6 and 3.
Right. Good point.
Yeah. And I mean, I truly think that, you know, things might come around where you're the smallest size that a quote unquote mountain bike, you know, runs is like a 2.4, 2.6. And then it goes up to a 3. And then, you know, I feel like that's more of the sweet spot than what we traditionally looked at as like a 2 to 2.4.
Right.
I feel like, you know, that's kind of anemic. That is not going to work for most conditions unless it's super, super, super hard pack and you got just like hero dirt, you know, whereas that, you know, 2.5-ish up to 3, that I feel like is really more of the sweet spot when it comes to, you know, getting the most out of your bike.
Right. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
And
I need a beer.
And I want to listen to these sweet tunes. We'll be right back.
You don't even know what sweet tunes they're going to be.
Oh, you just wait. They're going to be good.
Damn it, we went on a break, and then we talked about stuff we got to talk about.
Yeah, so I'm over at the fridge, and I'm like, okay, what do you want to drink? In the meantime, the podcast continues, and you guys don't get to hear about it, so here it is again. I would love to try a 2.8 cross-country style, not like, you know, like a small block 8, but, you know, a Midwest 2.8 tire. And he's like, yeah. Because I feel like a 2.8, and my response was, I feel like a 2.6 is not cross country.
Well, but it could be.
It could be.
And in what I was talking about was, you know, there's a couple of different ways to slice and dice this one.
All right.
So, back in the day, traditional cross country tires, you know, when like 2.4, 2.5 was the biggest tire you could get.
Right.
I would almost always run a 2.4 on the front and a 2.25 in the rear.
Right.
And the reason why was because I only added like maybe 50 grams to my bike or whatever. And I'm a big dude. I don't climb. Like, that's not what I excel at. I mean, I'm competent, but I'm not good at it. So 50 grams, I'm not going to get dropped because of 50 grams on an uphill.
Right.
But when I get to the downhill, I'm going to be able to end up dropping somebody because I got a tire that gives me more traction and I can, you know, just go bananas on the downhill.
Right.
So it was one of those things where it was like, I was able to balance the characteristics to leverage what I'm good at and what I can actually make a difference with. And that's where, like, you know, this 2.6 inch tire or a 2.8 inch tire, you know, in the multiple tread patterns makes a difference.
That's the key, though, is to have some multiple tread patterns, because these 2.6 and 2.8s that are coming out are really aggressive tread patterns.
And the reason for that is because a lot of times when you're riding very aggressively, you know, you're going over jumps and you're going over all this stuff.
No,
if you got a bigger tire, it's going to fold over more and it's going to get bouncy and it's going to have adverse situations instead of your tire sticking to the ground. So in those types of deals, going with a slightly smaller tire where you once again, this is kind of playing with the positive negatives. Slightly smaller tire is going to have less bounce, so it's going to stick to the ground better, and you're going to end up having a bigger advantage because it's a bigger contact factor. You have more traction than your traditional 2.4 or smaller tire.
Okay.
So you, once again, it's kind of like what I was talking about on the climbs. You know, you gain the advantage on the downhill. You don't give up a whole lot.
Okay.
And right now, that's kind of really focused on that, you know, more gnar kind of scenario. So, you know, like the Knobby Nick, it's not a bad rolling tire, but it's a pretty aggressive tire.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen the full line of tires flush out. You know, we want to have a full line of cross country tires with, you know, smaller knobs and faster rolling patterns from, you know, 2 all the way up to 3.2. We want to have sort of the mid gnar, you know, the Knobby Nick kind of thing from 2 to 3.2. We want to end up having the super gnar, like a minion or whatever,
right,
from 2 to 3.2.
No, and we might have those discussions here in one day or two days.
Yeah, because like we talked about, you know, the 2.6 inch tires are coming.
Okay.
Schwalbe's starting to make them. It looks like
Maxxis,
you know,
is making them.
Yep, I saw some rumors about that. I don't know a whole lot about it yet.
Right. Well, we might know.
Michelin. You know, we haven't heard Michelin in the plus tire game.
Right.
And they're going to start making them.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of companies that are kind of jumping into this in-between space.
All right.
So it's coming. It's flushing out. And this is one of those things where the market's just kind of got to figure it out. And you know, and this affects a lot of other things as far as bottom bracket height and all these other types of things. So this is one of – it's like a multi-dimensional thing you can tweak on your bike to get the ride you want.
Wow. It's way more huge than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. This is a big deal. I mean, it's like, you know, having these 0.2 inch jumps is like the ideal thing because, you know, a 0.1 inch jump, you're not going to notice a whole heck of a lot if it's the same tread pattern. A 0.2, you'll notice. So it's like if you can gradiate, you know, this whole thing where you're like, okay, I need a little more float, or, you know, float isn't that big a deal. I'm getting a little too much bounce, so I want to go smaller. You know, you can change it on the spectrum and get the ideal thing.
We're seeing 2.2, 2.4, 2.6, 2.8, 3.0. I think I've seen on the radar somewhere a 3.2.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually got one of those. I got a V tire. I'm blanking on the name of it right now. It's like a bulldozer, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there's another company. Jones has been way into them. I'm blanking on the name of that too. But yeah, there's been a couple of 3.2s out there.
Are we gonna go 3.4, 3.? You know, and then why not?
I agree. Why not? But at the same time, I think we're starting to get to diminished returns once you start to get bigger.
Ooh, this is a technical podcast, and I like what you just said.
Well, and it's one of those things where, I mean, I don't think we're talking a linear difference as you go up.
Translate that, please.
So, okay, if you look at the difference between a 4 to a 4.5 inch tire,
right,
I would argue that the difference in performance between those two tires is similar to the difference between like a 2.6 and a 2.8 inch tire.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think what happens, or if you go from like 2.2 to a 2.4, you know, that is going to be a pretty substantial difference. And you think about it in terms of percentages. I mean, a 2.2 to a 2.4, that's a 0.2 increase. So, I mean, that's a 10% increase. Whereas if you go from a 4 to a 4.4, that's another 10% increase. So, you know, it's, you know, just linearly looking at it as far as what the delta is, you know, how much the change is.
Sure.
You know, that's going to change as you get bigger. So on these smaller size tires, I like thinking of smaller size tires as being less than 3 inches.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know, like a 2.6 or 2.8, you know, there's still going to be a discernible difference between those. But once you get into the fat bike realm, you know, if you're going from like we talked about, like a 4 to a 4.4 or 4.5, that's going to be kind of a similar you know, like as far as seat of the pants feel difference.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is fatbike.com, and you're listening to the Fat Camp podcast. This is a technical podcast about fat and plus bikes, and it doesn't, it might get deeper than that, but right there, blew my mind.
That's about as dorky as you get.
Blew my mind. Enough that I need this stone delicious IPA in my mouth.
Yes, wet the palate.
Damn. That was good. That was good. And luckily, I think the people that listen to us enjoy discussing that, hearing that, rolling it around the brain as much as you and I do.
Hopefully.
I mean, that was good.
Hopefully.
That was good. Yeah. No. Wow. Let's talk about tires.
Yeah, we don't ever talk about tires. So let's talk about another one, you know?
You're right. What you pointed out something about. Yeah, where are these people?
So, you know, they've been making a few different tires out there, and they basically launched another one that's in the, like, 27.5 by 2.8 range. Looks like a real nice, you know, setup. So,
yeah. Just another company throwing their hat into the ring?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. They're doing two different tires. One of them looks like it's a fairly fast rolling but chunky tire.
Okay.
It's got a pretty dense knob pattern in the middle. And then they have another tire, which is almost like a, I don't want to call it a micro knob because that's not quite the right way of putting
it. No, but you know.
It's a pretty small knob in the center.
Right.
It's got big chunky side knobs.
Just gnar on the side, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, it's like, I mean, this, once again, these are tires that are kind of trying to find their place in the market.
Right.
And at that 2.8 inch size, you know, there's going to be times where, you know, people are riding really aggressively and they want to have really good cornering, and both of these tires are going to produce on that front.
Terravail.
Yep. They've made some really good tires.
Never heard of them.
Yeah. I've had a little bit of experience with them on kind of gravel type tires.
Okay.
And I was really impressed. They made I don't know how else to describe it other than it was a really supple casing, but it's, you know, all indications are that it was really durable.
Okay.
So, you know, that points very, very, very positively for this whole plus thing.
Right. Click on that link. Check it out, though. It's an interesting, you know, I put a link in there to the Terravail website, and it is kind of interesting to check that stuff out. And, hey, the more people that jump into this thing, the better it's going to be.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Know? No, exactly. The more diversity we can get, the better.
Right. Exactly. Well, not everybody would agree with that, but you and I do. More diversity is strength.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
We don't want to go any further down that
one. Moving on. What's Head got going on
here? Oh, my God. Man, Head's like,
speechless.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, so Head's doing a 27.5 plus rim.
All right. Aluminum or carbon?
Carbon.
Okay.
It's 45 mil external, 40 mil internal.
Not bad.
430 grams. So really nice and light.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. It's, you know, this is an impressive looking rim.
Wow.
I really wish they'd do a 29 plus, but there's my request. Please, right. Head, listen right to this.
I'm sure that they are tuned into Fat Camp podcast.
I will be your first person to buy them if you go 29 plus. But no, this is a sweet, 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 sweet rim. It kind of builds upon the technology they have going on with their fat bike rims.
Okay.
But it looks like a very distinctly different rim profile.
How so?
It's a lot deeper.
Okay.
They've got like a really kind of deep channel to it. So, unlike their fat bike rims, which are very shallow.
Right. Are these tubeless ready?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Okay.
So, you know, I'll be interested to hear a little bit more how they perform, but I mean, the bottom line is 430 grams. That's a really freaking light rim for how wide this thing is.
Okay.
So, you know, that's an impressive setup.
Pull out your crystal ball here. You can,
yes,
take mine.
Yep.
Will they come out with 29?
They may. I think once again, this kind of goes back to our original conversation about like the 29 plus full suspension bike and, you know, where the market's going and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was an easy thing for everybody to jump on 27.5 plus because it's the same outer diameter as 29.
Yeah.
So, you know, from an engineering standpoint,
it's not too big.
A lot of people jumped in.
Oh, people will like this. You know?
The thing is that it's like, if you start to listen to people in the industry, we've kind of got to a point where there's been a level of paralysis. You know, it's like, if you actually look at bike sales, they've dropped. And it's because there's, you know, a lot of people theorize, I should say, the reason for that is because there's been so much new crap. So we, you know, everything's been upended, you know,
yeah,
hub spacing, boop, you know,
yeah,
we screwed with that.
Right.
You know, there's, you know, bottom bracket standards, you know, it's like people are like, press fits crap, we need to go back to threads, you
right,
know?
Right.
So then we got this, you know, what is it? T47 and, you know, blah, 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 blah. You
yeah.
Know,
oh, yeah.
You got all these other standards there.
I totally know. So, yeah you're right.
Then you've got plus stuff. Then you got 27.5 plus versus 29 plus. You know, and then you got, you know, 27 versus 29. You know, 26 has gone away. So it's like there's been so much upheaval in the bike industry. You know, a lot of people that aren't really, you know, the non-fat camp, you know, listener.
Sure.
Who's, you know, obviously, you know, has a superior level of information at their fingertips.
Undoubtedly, yes.
You know, but your average dude who walks into a shop or dudette, you know, they're like, what the hell? What should I buy?
Right.
You know, what am I going to buy that is going to be good for, you know, 3 to 5 years?
Right.
And there isn't an obvious thing to Joe Schmo in the market. You know, it's like, I think a lot of our listeners, and I know for myself, I'm like, I want this. This would be so sweet if I had this, you know. But unless you're really informed, you don't have that. And you're just like, holy crap, there's all these different things going on. It's like, bike industry, make up your fucking mind.
Right.
Excuse me.
But, you know, if I'm going to go get a fishing rod, I want to catch fish. And the guy's like, well, what kind of fish do you want to catch? Where do you want to fish? Do you want to fish in a lake? Do you want to fish in a river? Do you want to catch big fish? Do you want to catch little fish? It's the same. There's so much diversity in that as there is in bikes.
Yeah, but
I want to go buy a gun that shoots squirrels and elephants. I want one gun to shoot them both.
But that's the thing. It's like, you look at the bike industry. You know, are bike shops definitively saying plus bikes are the best thing since ever for, you know, the Lower Peninsula of Michigan?
Right.
No. But I think, you know, based on the data I've seen, that's pretty true.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, it's not definitive. And it's like, you know, there's so many different geographic elements and these other like kind of gradients to all the different factors. It's kind of hard for people to suss out unless you have a lot of direct experience in riding.
Right.
Or, you know, you're tapped into people that have a lot of that direct experience. Yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing. You know, it's like if you're just Joe Blow walking into a shop and you don't have that history, that context, you know, that perspective.
Right.
It's
a tough call.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of, you know, just there's so many options. You're just like, oh, right, deer in the headlights.
This Stone Delicious IPA is a citrusy India Pale Ale with lemon drop and El Dorado hops. Well, good. That was head.
Yeah.
That whole discussion came from the head.
Yeah.
With the 27.5.
Yeah. Head.
Hella rim.
Yeah. No, it's a sweet rim.
It is.
Please make it in 29+.
But Sun Ringle's got another aluminum rim out there for us.
Yeah. And by the way, on the head rims, I mean, this is sort of the same thing that if you follow the fat bike head rims, it's the same sort of deal. You can't buy individual rims. You need to purchase them built up through certain different outlets.
Oh, really?
You can get them directly through Head, or there's certain approved builders. My guess is like people like I9 and stuff like that, you will be able to do it.
You're buying a whole wheel set then?
In general, yes.
Okay.
So like if you ended up, you know, getting, you know, a Head wheel set with their brick house hubs, it's like $2,100. You can send them your hubs and they'll build them up. That would end up being like 16.5. Jeez. I mean, they're not cheap. There's no way around it.
She's a brick house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of other rim options.
Gotcha.
Or I should say wheel set options where you can get different I9 hubs, or you can get, you know, this, that, or whatever. I think they have like DT hubs and I9 hubs, but whatever. Those are a little more premium than the brick house hubs. Thing is, you can't just buy rims.
Okay. That's what it, okay. You got to buy the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Through them and whoever they let you buy them.
Yeah. From. I mean, they're really kind of controlling who can build these things up, which I think is a good thing. I mean, I think it's for a premium product like this where they've really kind of extracted all the performance they can out of it. I think it's good to control the build because you don't want just some Joe Blow building up this really lightweight, awesome rim and, you know,
lacing it to some, you know, yeah, some mom and pop hub.
Or just not lacing it up properly where you've got really uneven tension and then you run into problems and then people are like, oh, head rims suck. You know, I think this is controlling the process in a logical way.
Gotcha.
And it, quite frankly, if you got the hubs and you send them into them, it's a pretty good, I mean, for a Chi-Chi wheel set, like the top of the line technology, it's not a bad price.
Gotcha. Good deal.
Yeah.
But like I said, Sun Ringle's making some aluminum things.
We're going back to the proletariat here.
Well, I didn't even see your link in the show notes, and I ran across this just going through my
websites, research.
My websites that I go through, and I was like, whoa, I want to check these out.
No,
it's 30 and 35 mils.
Yeah, this
prime plus size.
This is yet another rim that is just like it's hitting the sweet spot as far as, you know, your plus bike rims go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got really good specs as far as price, as far as width, as far as weight. It checks all the boxes. So, Sun Ringle, what the heck do they call this thing? I'm not seeing a name written down, but it's 515 grams for the 29er with a 32 mil internal width. And they launched two rims on this one. I'm only talking about the wider one because the skinnier one doesn't really seem to be appropriate for any kind of plus scenario.
Right.
If I remember right, it was like a it was like a 27 millimeter internal.
For some reason, I have a layered tankini on the side of my website here. What the hell? Anyway,
but so for the 27.5 rim diameter, it's 495. I mean, those weights are really respectable.
Right.
And it's like retail on it is $130 a rim. You know, you can buy a whole complete front wheel for like $240 and a rear wheel for $260.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's like these are really reasonable prices.
Yeah.
And we're talking weights that up until like, I mean, 6 months, a year ago, this was carbon weights or pretty close to them.
If someone said, hey, I would totally shove them this way.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You're like, hey, check these out.
This is the latest evolution in really economical options for good rims.
Yeah, do your homework on them. See who's ridden them. See what's going on. But I'd bet you $10. People would be like, so far, so good.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think it's going to be super solid. And, you know, once again, this isn't like the, you know, top of the line great rim option, but it's just a super, super solid, good rim that's become available.
Right.
So, you know, and we did a show last year where we kind of like outlined all the different plus rims. And it's like, you know, I think this is kind of top of the heap from what I've seen based upon that data.
Right. This is becoming like the pre plus show. You know, it's kind of like we're easing out of fat bike world in March now.
Yeah.
And we're moving into plus
there's
world.
There's a lot of cool stuff coming that way.
So
do we want to take a break or do we want to keep rolling into the big question?
The big question. We have to catch a flight in 6 hours.
Yep.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back with about a 15-minute discussion.
I'm sure that's all it's going to be.
And then we're going to go to bed, and we're going to catch a flight, and we're going to go to Georgia.
We're going to learn about a lot of Maxxis tires.
We're going to ride bikes in Georgia. Yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
We'll be right back. Opposition's flat. You never get there, they'd like to say. But I'm going to hit the top someday.
Welcome back, campers. We're rolling again. That was a quickie break.
Yes, that was a quick break. Holy cow. You didn't get much time for some tunes there. Now, one of the things that you hear on Fat Camp.
Well, You don't hear it as much on Fat Camp, but this is more of a fatbike.com like tire review kind of thing, cuz I feel like I review a lot of tires.
Well, I'm constantly living in Fat Camp, so I hear it all the freaking time.
Yeah, you do. You do.
Is that this tire corners better or rolls better than another tire? Now, to most of the guys, I'm going to shout out to my friend Kevin and myself. It's hard for us to suss out whether a tire corners better, whether it rolls faster. I mean, sometimes it's obvious, you know, but sometimes Uncle Kenny here can tell you what type of nipple washers are in the rim, what material the nipples are, what kind of hub it is, the thickness of the spokes, blah 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 blah. And we're like, dude, how can you figure that stuff out when you're riding? How can you determine all these nuances? How do you tap into all this stuff? And so the question came up, hey Ken, how do you know whether a tire corners better or whether a tire rolls better?
Well, and Gomez was kind of one of the people that brought this up, and you know, it's kind of was drawing me down on it, because you know, he was like, you know, what do you need to end up really having some data to back this up? You talk about, you know,
because the rest of us are just always slow. So every tire is kind of behaves the same way.
So I mean, this isn't a super scientific thing. I think
it makes sense, though.
This is how a lot of us evaluate stuff, but it really comes back down to how I compare, you know, in a riding situation to other people I know. I'm really fortunate because I've got a bunch of guys that I ride with that are very. I'm very familiar with how they ride, and I'm very close to them as far as, you know, the bike handling skills, you know, fitness, things like that.
And they don't change their shit up very often.
No. So okay. I go out and ride with them all the time. And, you know, like this winter, they were always riding Dillinger 5s.
Right.
You know, it didn't make a difference what kind of conditions they were in. I probably ended up varying through 6 different tire setups.
Right.
But they were always riding Dillinger 5s.
Okay.
So, you know, there might be one of those things where one of us is feeling better on a given day than the other guy. So on the climbs, one person might kick another person's ass and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But you get to the downhill, and that's where you can really tell, okay, how am I doing as far as cornering? How am I doing as far as, you know, traction on like uphills, you know, when you get to a really steep climb?
Right.
How am I doing as far as rolling resistance? You know, there's all these different factors that kind of come in when you have a very, very, you know, sort of tight perspective on, okay, how do I compare to this other person riding wise, you know, on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis.
Right.
And that's a large part of what I base this off of.
So as long as you're riding with the same guys and you're riding with them frequently and they're riding the same stuff, you're changing your stuff up, you can get kind of a gauge.
Yep.
On how fast you can go in the corners, how well you can downhill, how much it rolls, how well it goes uphill, blah, blah, blah.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And it's like, it's one of those things where, like, if I ride on Saturday, and, you know, we end up having pretty similar weather conditions from Saturday to Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if I ride on Saturday and I know I'm always rolling up on this guy, you know, it's like I'm riding behind Quirin, you know, yeah. And it's like, and like, every downhill, I'm just like rolling up on him. I got a brake. Otherwise, yeah. I'm going to run into his, you know, rear tire.
Right.
And then I end up making a tire change. And on Sunday, you know, the conditions are really, really similar. And we're, you know, ripping along. And it's like, all of a sudden, I don't have to brake. You know, it's like I just basically can coast behind him. That means that I'm probably riding a slower setup the second day than I was on the first day.
Sure.
And there's a lot of gradients of variation on that. And, you know, where this has really come out is with these snow avalanche tires.
Yeah.
Because I've had some fairly subtle differences between the tires. I've been riding a 4-inch white version of that, the PCS.
PSC.
Yeah, pure silica compound, right. PSC compound. And that... universally, I mean, I don't care anybody who rode that tire. They got on it and they felt like it was super fast.
Yeah.
And then I got a 4.8 inch version in the black, which is the like the silica compound.
Right, SC.
Yeah. And there was times where I felt like it rolled pretty well, and there was times I felt like it rolled like crap.
Well, there's other people that rode with it, and they rode like shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Zeller had it, and it, bleh.
Well, he had a different tire. He had the Snowshoe XL.
Oh, the XL.
But
okay.
Basically what you were saying is accurate. You know, like, right. You know, I've had
that compound.
Yeah, I've had the white compound of the Snowshoe XL, and it seemed to roll pretty good. And then, you know, it's like he has the black compound, and it seems to roll like crap.
Right.
So I ended up riding the 4.8 inch black version, and I rode the 4.8 inch white version.
Right.
And, you know, those are fairly, I mean, pretty much all you're doing is you're changing the rubber compound. So when you go from one day to the next day and you have pretty similar weather conditions and pretty similar snow conditions, you can really tell a subtle difference if you're riding with the same guys and they have exactly the same setup.
Sure.
And, you know, that's kind of the beauty of it. It's like there's, you know, 2-3 guys that are all riding Dillinger 5s that I ride super close to. And I can make these little tweaks here and there, and you can see, oh, okay. You know, once again, it doesn't make a difference what pressure I'm running. I can be a little bit too low. I can be a little bit too high, and I'm still going to kill these guys on cornering traction because, you know, like those snow avalanches, that's what they were awesome at. Those things had just like monster side knobs, and they cornered like just crazy. They were awesome that way.
Yeah.
But then I'd have these variations and when they were good rolling resistance wise, and the white ones were typically a whole lot better rolling resistance wise. The black ones did really well if you ran pretty high pressure, like proportionally higher pressure than you normally would, but it was such a big tire, you know, it was a true 4.8. So you could get away with that because you didn't end up sinking into the snow as much.
Oh my gosh.
But, you know, all these different variations,
right?
But you can suss out some of those details when you're riding with the same person who's on a stable setup.
Wow. So that's how you figure that shit out.
Yeah. I, this is one of those things where I really wish I had a power meter on my bike and I could do repeatable runs and, you know,
so since you don't have a power meter and you don't have a repeatable runs, then all this is subjective then.
It is. And this is the closest thing I can get to non-subjective data.
Okay.
Right. You know, and just so you know, I think it's worthwhile to talk about just because, you know, we talk about some pretty subtle differences.
Yeah.
And talk about them with conviction.
Sure.
And, you know, I think this kind of backs up, you know, how we're doing that. You know, it's not just like we're pulling it out of our arse. Wow. You know?
Don't use we.
Might be, but
don't use we. I mean, use you. I mean, once in a while, I can tell. Something behaves a certain way, either corner or it rolls fast or grips really well or you know, is a slog or has good drive traction or doesn't wash out. But you just, I guess, bottom line is you got to ride all the time.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really what it comes down to. The more you ride, and then it's like, you know, like I kind of go back to what I started with. I'm really fortunate because I've got a bunch of guys who are really good riders who, you know, each of them have different strengths and weaknesses, but we're all kind of overall pretty similar.
And you can ride in different conditions. I mean, when you ride south of town, that's totally different than riding when you head east.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, to those of you who don't live on the west coast of Lake Michigan, you know, what Andy's talking about is, you know, like when you're along the coastline, you typically have a far less snow. Especially this year, you have icier conditions.
Icy, yeah.
So you kind of have one set of conditions there. But then, you know, if you were to drive 20 minutes inland, all of a sudden you're dealing with a ton of fresh snow.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, 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 very different snow conditions. So by bouncing back and forth between the different conditions and the different riders and, you know, things like that, but, you know, kind of keeping that variable the same, it gives you a really good comparator to see how things flush out.
Welcome to fatbike.com. This is the Fat Camp podcast. It's a technical aspects of fat and plus bikes. Damn, that was awesome. Gosh.
I'm glad you liked it.
I think our podcast, We're gonna shut down this podcast, but we'll let you know.
We're gonna go geek out on Max's tires.
We're gonna let you know that it'll probably last another half hour after we shut it down. But
yeah.
This was number 23. We were glad to talk about some in between tires and some in between rims. And
we talked about tweener fat bike tires last time. Now we're talking about tweener plus tires.
Tweener plus tires. So
yeah.
Hopefully that'll end up in the title there somehow.
Tweenerdom.
Right.
It's all about the tweeners.
We'll be back to talk to you about some Max's stuff that we find out once we're in North Georgia. We'll have an interview with some Max's people.
Bobby Brown.
We'll have some articles for you, and everything will make Gomez happy.
There you go. It's all about making Gomez
happy.
Thanks
for listening. Get in touch with us on Gmail at Fat Camp Podcasters, or check us out on Instagram. And thanks for listening, folks.
Cheers.
Out.
Thanks for listening. The music we are using on today's show is from the Free Music Archive. It is the song Feel Like Flying, performed by the Embrooks. You can find all our shows at fat-bike.com, including show notes for today's show.